This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, it comes to mind as you talk about that, Chris, something that our former co-host mentioned on the air, where he was giving a brief talk about UFOs before a MUFON meeting in New York State. And he got into all these fine details, and somebody said, can you give me the Reader's Digest version? They wanted simple. They wanted a conclusion. Many, many years ago, and I haven't done that many lectures, but I've done a few. I was giving a lecture before a group in Atlanta, a group of which Alan Greenfield was one of the sponsors. And I gave a presentation of the evidence that favored something going on. These are sightings that cry out for an explanation. Now, remember, I was a lot younger then. I didn't have all the arguments intact. But they kept asking, what's the answer? What's the conclusion? I got to know. They wanted an answer, and the people who give them an answer, a simple answer, are the ones who they'll pay attention to. They won't pay attention to me if I'm saying, we don't know what it is, we've got a phenomenon going on. This is how they want to be spoon-fed.
Well, that's the appeal of the disclosure movement, of course, because it's a narrative that has a clear-cut ending, and the ending is disclosure of ultimate cosmic secrets, which fundamentally and quickly change the world. And that's easy to package, and it's easy to kind of digest, and it's very, very appealing. But what's the ending narratively to what we're presenting in this book and to what, you know, other people have presented before us along similar lines? Well, there is no definitive ending to it, and people don't like that. People like things to be narrativized and digestible and understandable, and we like conclusions, and we don't offer any. But I think there's value in letting go of the need for conclusions, I think, when it comes to something like this, and just being open to possibilities.
And that's where Greg Bishop also, you know, advocates that notion, is, and Sue Demeter St. Clair as well says, you know, ask more questions, ask more interesting questions, be more curious about it. Greg does a great advocacy piece for the Greek philosophy of Pyrrhonism. Remain in a state of perpetual inquiry, as we cannot be certain what new evidence will turn up in the future. So stay tentative and continue the inquiry. Pyrrhonians question accepted knowledge and identify dogmatism as a disease of the mind. And I would say ufology has had a disease in the mind for a great number of decades, and that needs to be pushed away. And if we're going to push it away, then we have to be open to, as Valet says, you know, stop bringing ideology to the table. You know, as somebody who was once, you know, a great proponent of ATH and then since came and piled on a whole bunch of other theoretical avenues, he's now telling us, let's get rid of ideology. Let's just start asking interesting questions of it and see what else can we learn from the witness experience. If we've got a lot of data, which we do, you know, maybe we can do something with all of that and some sifting. And that's, you know, Valet's baby as well, too. But for the rest of us, in terms of finding a new way of thinking about it, we need to be open to saying, I don't know the answer, and who knows what new things will come along in the future to give us better answers to it. So let's just be patient with our approach and be creative and curious with it.
Well, and be diligent, too.
Absolutely.
You know, make sure that we're actually availing ourselves of all the wonderful thinking that's out there and all these wonderful sort of counterintuitive approaches to the subject matter. The obvious ways have not worked. And, you know, we here at the Paracast, we sound like foghorns echoing in a foggy night by saying this constantly. The wheel is broken. It's fallen off the vehicle. It's all the way down the ravine. Okay, 70 years, and we really are no closer to any definitive answers. We think we know more, but it's the more you know, the more confused you become, basically. Yeah. So amount of knowledge does not equate, some sort of linear process towards a solution. And so we really need to become very circumspect and pull back and, you know, entertain new thinking, entertain new ideas. And, perhaps then the next generation will be able to go, it's probably a forest for the trees thing. It's probably so obvious that there's just no way that you can accidentally pick it up. So, time will tell. It's just very exciting. And I'm really gratified to see books like this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, to go along with what Chris is saying, we have to be available to looking at things from very, very altered perspectives. And when we think about the nature of the UFO experience, I describe it as Ultima Thule, that place that's beyond, borders, that place on the map where monsters are, and you're heading into uncharted territory. And I think when we think of how surreal the UFO witness story is, it really is about uncharted territory. And that theme gets echoed in the text. Vinayas talks about, we need to head into a land which is not yet to be trod. We need to head to Terra Obscura. And Mike Clellan talks about, the land of the owls. And I talk about Ultima Thule, and I think that that we don't really have a map for the territory of the UFO. It is an extremely complex subject matter. It's not a simplistic piece that we can just fit into a box. So I think that means we need to bring a certain degree of complexity to it as well, and we should be prepared to head into uncharted territory, both in terms of thinking and in acknowledging what the true nature of the experience is.
Robbie?
I can only leave it really with what Robert has so eloquently expressed there. And I'm not going to try and top what he's just said. That's it, really. The book attempts to, I suppose, set course for that uncharted territory, but we recognise that we can't actually effectively approach it yet. But we're at least trying, and I think it's important to try.
Do you think we'll ever get an answer, or we'll be in the second round of trying to find new thoughts?
Someone asked me this recently, will we ever get an answer to the UFO riddle? I would like to think that probably we will if we survive long enough as a species. Because I don't think that I think that most things will be within our reach of understanding, if given enough time, but I think we're so primitive, we're so young right now. We like to think of ourselves as the pinnacle, but we're so young and so primitive. Chris said we're just basically evolved apes, which is of course exactly what we are. And so I think we're a good ways away of truly understanding what underlies UFOs and related phenomena. Are they forever beyond our reach? Probably not. Are they beyond our reach within my lifetime? Probably so.
Yeah, I think that for myself, when I think about it, that it is so beyond the capacities of our biology, I doubt we'll ever come to a great appreciation of what that external stimulus actually is, if there is one that's there. But I do think that if we take time to actually bring real science to what we've got left, which is the UFO witness, that if there could be some energies invested into who in fact are the people that see what they see, and if we could actually define a cohort through real legitimate, sociological study, I would be fascinated to understand that part of it. That is, there's something about the nature of the individual or what's taking place in their life that causes the experience to unfold? Or is it in fact an entirely random stimulus piece that for whatever reason people see sometimes? And if that's the case, I think it'll always be beyond our grasp as to what it is. It seems to defy our science quite readily all the time, and it doesn't leave us any ability or capacity to use science to measure it in any meaningful manner except for after the fact. So I think that we need to focus on the witness piece and see what kind of traction we can get from that.
I have some questions here from William Strathman from the forums that I want to drop in our next segment. Okay, guys? So we have Gene and Chris and Robert and Robbie. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aroni what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast, we're exploring this new book, UFOs Refreshing the Debate. The editor, Robbie Graham, is here, one of the authors, Robert Brandstetter. Let me tell you, first of all, that we've got something special we're cooking up for after the Paracast. All right? So I mentioned before that we wanted to have Red Pill Junkie join us on the show. And unfortunately, his work schedule intervened. But he is available for a recording session for after the Paracast. So if all things work out, On the accompanying episode of After the Paracast, you will hear from Red Pill Junkie. And to listen to that show, you got to be a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We also give you a commercial-free version of this show for a low subscription rate starting at $1.49 a week. And if you go for 5 years or lifetime, we actually have free books, printed books and e-books, really marvelous. Chris, you want to take a look at those questions from William Strathman?
Okay, yeah, there's a bunch. Okay, first one for Robbie. Again, this comes from William Strathman. He pretty much shows up when we have interesting guests on the show, and he's one of the few forum posters that has more likes than he has posts. And he's wondering, Robbie, how did you come up with the idea to ask for essays from this wide variety of contributors?
I think it did arise out of mine and, well, initially mine and then I suppose the collective contributors' frustration that what people call ufology is, you know, frankly broken and was never really fully assembled in the first place. And I wanted to put a book together that would lay bare the problems that have long faced the UFO study field and then crucially seek to provide remedies and solutions so that we can move forward on this clearer path. But the book, I suppose, it was also put together at the suggestion, or at least a volume was put together at the suggestion of my editor. I'd written Silver Screen Sources a couple of years ago, and my editor at White Crow Books, and my publisher, rather, at White Crow Books, suggested that I might do an edited volume on UFOs. But, you know, he sort of said, well, what would your angle be? And I thought, well, you know, I've been sort of kicking around this idea of maybe doing something that would be critical and present alternative perspectives. And then so I just started to put together a list of who struck me as being particularly forward-thinking, progressive, iconoclastic in this field and at the edges of the field. And I started to approach people with a brief, with an outline for an idea of what would become UFOs Reframing the Debate. I think I had the title from the very beginning. And I approached, a good number of people and almost all of them jumped on board with it very enthusiastically. So and it all came together very, very quickly. Well, I say quickly, it took a year, but that's quite quick. So relatively smooth, and everyone was incredibly enthusiastic about it, and I'm really blown away by how much of themselves everyone's thrown into this.
Well, you mentioned almost everybody took you up on it. Another question from Mr. Strathman is who turned you down? And you can name names, it's okay.
I would rather not because
give us a bunch of hints.
There are a couple of very, very, very big names who are colleagues of mine who I have huge respect for, who turned me down simply. One of them turned me down because he was simply just too busy. He's a full-time academic, and his schedule wouldn't allow for it. A lot of people are demanding a lot of things from him all the time, and he just sort of was very honest with me and said, I think this sounds like a great project. He said, I think it's going to be a classic, but I don't have the time to do it at the moment, and I just have to kind of draw a line and say, I can't do it. So I respected that, and I thanked him anyway. And the other one is a guy who is a very big name, and he declined respectfully, and again, very enthusiastic about the project. But he said he was taking a huge step away from the field, and didn't really want to be, I think, out there at this point with this kind of project. I think he just wanted to sort of go into stealth mode, shall we say?
the mind wanders. I can think of a number of people that would fit into that particular description, but. Did you have in your mind a certain variety of people or a certain variety of opinion that you wanted to sort of have for a well-rounded focus for the book? Or did you just kind of go with your intuition and say, well, this one, this one, this one, this one, and just allow them to come up with it? In other words, how much did you steer the project?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I steered it. From the beginning, I mean, it's very much, you know, I've worked on this every day, literally every day for the past year. So it's been hugely time consuming and all of that. But it's been less stressful, I would say, than the last book I wrote, because the last one was, you know, I wrote all the content, whereas this is written by other people, but this is still a huge challenge in the sense that you're still having to edit everyone's work. You're still having to, some people submitted stuff, which ultimately I had to, decline for inclusion in the book because it wasn't suitable. And so you have to make those decisions as well. And it's just constant correspondence every single day with up to 20 people and ultimately down to sort of 14, 15 people who contributed to the book for a year. So it's just been hugely time consuming. Deciding on how to structure the book, editing the individual essays, you know, doing all of the end notes, everything. It's been a big process. Yeah, it's been a big process. But it's sort of how to frame the whole thing and what I want to achieve with it. But, you know, Greg Bishop played a huge role as well, as basically a sub-editor. Greg was one of the people I had from towards the beginning. And I sort of bounced a lot of ideas off Greg from the outset. And Greg would make recommendations and about certain contributors as well. I would ask Greg, you know, who would you recommend and things like that. And I had most of the contributors in mind from the outset. Anyone whose work I would see, particularly who were even commenting online in forums and things like that, who were expressing ideas that were shall we say different and articulate, then I would have them in mind, and then I would sort of research people and think, well, do I know enough about you? And because you also have to make the decisions on whether you can work with people as well. It's not just about whether their work is great. It's about whether or not you can actually work with them and whether they are suitable to devote a year of their lives to something like this on and off. Because there's also the element of ego, involved, and I'm delighted to say that I haven't had to encounter that, you know, which is quite an achievement with 14 people.
We got more to come with Robbie Gray and, of course, Robert Brandstetter, Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's 7 herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with ExtendoVite.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. One of our biggest expenses can be when unexpected repair bills hit us at home. Can you afford to repair or replace your home heating system? What about when your air conditioning stops working this summer, or worse, a major plumbing problem or large appliance that just stops working? Well, with National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. That's right. If you own a home, you could stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get your home protected and 1 month of repair coverage for free. Just call 800-887-3022. Simply call our 24/7 repair hotline and pay nothing for covered repairs. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems so you have no more costly repair bills. Just call 800-887-3022 and never pay for repairs again. Get your home protected against costly repair bills right now. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Oh, he's getting more excitable by the second there.
Sounded like Nick.
A little bit there. We have to add the accent, that's all. Chris, you've got, what, he has like 6-7 more questions?
Yeah, those were, I think, three questions that we asked for Robbie. Now, here's a couple for you, Robert. He's wondering if unresolved human trauma could be the main source for the UFO experience, based on your work, extensive work with trauma victims and in the realm of the traumatic experience.
You know, it's a theme that repeats, like a number of different essayists bring that concept forward. Rakowski does that. Greg Bishop does that. I do that. Many people talk about the nature of trauma. Mike Clellan calls being an abductee is the trauma of enlightenment, which I've got, you know, my own kind of thoughts about that concept. I don't want to say it's the main source, but there does seem to be some correlation between those who experience very unique phenomena, especially in these close encounter cases. And I cite, you know, the Dale Spar, Portage County, Ohio case as like a significant example of an individual who was perhaps deconstructing prior to the event, and that while the aftermath of the event seems to bring a significant degree of trauma to individuals who identify within the territory of close encounter cases or define themselves as abductees, I would not say trauma is the source, but it's the aftermath without question. And I do think there is a question that's, until we can actually define a good cohort, but it would not surprise me to know that a great number of people who experience these close encounter cases are individuals who are also having other deconstructions taking place in their own life, be they emotional trauma, family trauma, abuse, etc. And Rakowski hits upon that in his abduction text as well. And I think it's an important consideration that mental health does play perhaps a role in some of these experiences.
Well, having said that, and I totally agree that trauma is, you know, one of the main sort of building blocks emotionally for dealing with these types of experiences. How about the type of experience that is accepted by the experiencer as being totally positive? It's like they were given the mysteries of the universe. They were told the future of humanity. All those New Age sort of benevolent space brother type images come to mind when I'm trying to describe this person. Inherently, though, because the experience is so out of the norm, wouldn't this on some level be a traumatic experience? And how does that play into the positive space brother scenario in terms of the individual actually experiencing deep trauma? Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, I think you're on a good track there. And I think it depends also, you know, what's the viewer, the witness bringing to the dance at that time. If what's on the front end of their ufological belief system is one that...
The space or just their life, where they are in their life process.
That's right. That's for sure. And I think, you know, Rakowski documents that in a number of his texts where he goes to visit witnesses who've had profound abductee and then claiming contactee experiences. And then he starts taking a look around, what are the books in the room? And what do you know? This has been the narrative these people have been living for a very long time. I don't think we can deny that part. But also, you know, we know whenever we've had a very intense experience, usually it goes, you know, one of three ways. Either you're totally traumatized by it, or it becomes a point of ecstasy, or it doesn't really move you or integrate you, or you don't know what to do with it, and so you just file that away under, let's forget about that, and it doesn't play a role in your life anymore. So I suspect it has a lot to do with who that individual is at the time of the experience that defines how ecstatic or traumatic or forgotten it might be.
Yeah, and again, that brings up another tried and true kind of theme that we've had here at the Paracast for a long time when it comes to MUFON and actual on-site investigation. The types of subject matter that we're talking about is not addressed in any way, shape, or form in any sort of, you know, standardized MUFON model for an investigation and as, you know, ascertaining facts. I mean, I think it's so important, and you just brought up a really important fact. Walking through an experiencer or a witness's living room and just happening to look at the what kind of magazines they have, what kind of books they have in the bookshelf. This really is important because each experiencer is a complete sort of universe, if you will, and it has its own sort of front-loading and autonomy. And that, I think, is going to color any sort of unusual experience that they have. Again, we're getting back into the whole realm of how do we – ascertain the quality of consciousness. And I think that's a real important aspect to all this and how people actually perceive their reality. Anybody want to comment?
You know, on some level, I think at the end of the day, all we've got is a collection of really unique stories, some of them very surreal and absurdist in nature. I wonder if the most we can actually learn about the experience is to talk to the witness about who they were beforehand, what was happening in their life, you know, were things going wrong, things deconstructing, or was everything fine and normal, and to spend more time with them after the event and check in with them continuously, and really engage in this concept of witness studies, that if we think that there's something that is a true external stimulus taking place, then wanting to study its impact on individuals and trying to look for patterns within that pool is at least something that's more solid to work with. And I think the other part, when you think about, you know, the very act of seeing something absolutely surreal and bizarre, we have no idea what the nature of brain chemistry is taking place inside an individual's mind leading up to an extraordinary event, or how the amygdala might be firing and causing different types of audio or visual hallucinations. These are common elements within the human brain space, and that's where it becomes an extremely complex event. On one hand, you'd like to take the witness for granted and just say, oh, that's what they saw. But then on the other, you might want to recognize that every witness's event is their own virtual reality experience that's taking place inside their mind. And the amount of things that, you know, cultural, sociological, psychological that inform our everyday virtual reality that plays out is enormous. And when you throw something like the UFO experience inside of that, that's a lot to tease apart, I think.
Yeah. What do you think, Robbie? I mean, where do you come down?
You're going to have to repeat the question.
Well, basically what we're talking about is how to differentiate between spin and the experience. Basically, everybody is coming to the table, you know, every contactee, every experiencer, every, you know, sighting witness is coming to the table with a complete, unique set of front-loaded baggage. And it's the interpretive nature of that baggage through the wonderful manifestation of a conscious experience. That's where we then get people like, you know, myself or MUFON investigators or other investigators who go out and want to try to document what it was that happened. Every one of the witnesses is completely different from the next one. They all have certain basic similarities in terms of a basic cultural cognition, that sort of thing. But everybody has their own spin on stuff. And so it's like trying to ascertain facts in a hall of mirrors looking through a kaleidoscope. lack of a better interpretation or definition of the process, I mean, that's what it seems like sometimes to me. Looking at the actual individual experiencer, you know, that witness, that person that has the experience, you have to really get to know that person and really understand their baggage, their front loading and all that stuff to even hope to begin to come to some sort of, you know, possible definitive conclusions upon which to hang your hat, you know, in terms of what they saw, what they experienced. It's almost like you have to do a complete individual breakdown of personality, character, you know, wants, wishes, desires, beliefs. It's really a lot more complicated than, you know, your standard MUFON questionnaire.
Well, my response would be the statement that you've just given, basically. It's, you know, I completely agree. I completely agree with what you've just said and with what Robert's just said. I think it is incredibly important to try and really study an individual experience or an individual witness. I mean, I think he would probably be talking, it'd be more valuable to study close-up experiences or people who you might consider an experiencer or an abductee, because I think someone in the book, it may even be Greg or Robert, who make a differentiation between you know, the close-up experience and a typical kind of nocturnal light experience.
The light in the sky, right. You know.
Got one more segment with Robbie and Robert and Jean and Chris. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
My husband says, you are what you eat. Not true, dear. I did my research. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So I didn't feel the vitamins and supplements I was taking were effective. I didn't feel any different. Then I switched to Protovite, a liquid multivitamin, mineral, and phytonutrient complex. And wow, you've got to see the video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the connectivity issues of Skype haven't been so bad. Chris got knocked off once, but it wasn't somebody gunning after him. It was the powers that be at Microsoft.
I'm so tired of it. You know, as soon as I start rolling, boom, I'm off. Oh,
yeah,
well,
you know, it's
dial.
You know, we make in the book, we make the distinction between these two different types of UFO event, the close up and the distant, being completely different animals, perhaps representative of different kinds of phenomena even.
Very good point.
So I think that a detailed study of an individual experience or of a close-up event would be potentially extremely valuable, but as you've indicated, extremely time-consuming, especially when applied to hundreds, thousands, or even millions of people over many years. And this reminds me of, you know, Robert saying that we need a sociological study, you know, an in-depth academic sociological study, and perhaps some can be gleaned over a number of years. Perhaps indeed it could, but to get something like that in the works on that kind of scale, that kind of level, would require a legitimization of UFO study, which is just not on the horizon with the field as it currently is and as it has been for a long, long time.
Right, because we are ET believers. Remember, folks, we are ET believers.
It's sociology that needs to take the plunge, ultimately.
Yeah, I think so.
One of the things I'd add is, you know, Greg says that the close encounter experience is information rich, that we should be studying these ones very closely because they are new human experiences, which he calls, you know, they're the frameworks without benchmarks. You know, these are things that nobody's got an example of this before in their life. And I think for me, the cases that are interesting then are cases where the person doesn't go on to become a contactee afterward or continue to have sighting after sighting after sighting. Right. And I think the other cases that are interesting are any multi-witness case where you can kind of get at witnesses independently to describe what they saw and start to take a look at, you know, some comparison and contrasts about who are the people doing the seeing and how does that work up against what they saw. And maybe there's something to be learned inside of those differentiations, because certainly in a lot of the multi-witness cases, people do give different, you know, testimonies in terms of what they saw. There's generally the same thing there. But as Donald Hoffman says, there's no such thing as a public object. Everybody's going to see something unique and different on their own. And certainly in the case of something as heightened as a UFO experience and it's a close encounter sighting, you're going to see something probably vastly different than the person sitting right beside you.
There's more skew.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, we've always been skewed up here, I'll tell you. All right. That certainly ended this discussion.
I'm not touching that one. I guess both the Robbies aren't either. Hey, Gene, you're sitting in the engineer's driver's seat. Just seems like every episode I get cut off right when I'm getting to my point.
Well, you know what? If I could control Skype and do that, I'd have a lot more power than I really do to make this happen. I have to think that you're out in the wilderness living in the middle of nowhere and that you have a working internet connection at all should be a miracle.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's I think, an appropriate analysis. I'm in the hinterlands here.
Yes, we've been looking for hinters for a long time, or a hint of something. I'm not sure.
Well, we got a hint of summer here. Let me see. Yeah, it's 98 degrees here at 2:30, so that's not too bad.
Okay, here it's 102, so it's barely any different.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're talking about this. Where do we go from here, Robbie, with this? Do we get a volume two together?
And please invite me to contribute. I'm just champing at the bit.
And I want you to get Alan Greenfield.
Yeah, if I have considered that there might be a volume two. If there is, it won't be for another couple of years at this point. But it's certainly conceivable that there might be, and maybe even a volume three. Who knows? But if there is a volume two, then Chris, consider yourself invited.
Thank you.
And, you know, several people have sort of commented, you know, to me, or they'd have loved to have been involved in this and stuff. And I'd have loved to have had more contributors, I think. I think I just sort of cut it off at a certain point. We ended up with a book at around 300 pages. Well, exactly 300 pages, in fact. And I think that's a pretty good length for something as dense as this in terms of content. It's not an easy read. And certainly, I would expand. I would probably try to push in new areas in volume two if there were a volume two. And yeah, I think there are enough people on my radar now to fill a volume two and a volume three with another 14 contributors apiece or more. But I think once we hit volume three, again, if, then I think we've probably exhausted the amount of people who would be appropriate for this kind of work, because I think there are very few people, sadly, who, I don't know, maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe there are far more people out there who are thinking along these lines and who have the ability to be able to express this in essay form and the commitment to do it. But the combination of all of those things is rare, I think.
You'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, I did not lobby for myself. I won't do that. Okay. I will not enter into that at all. Okay. So just realize
when was the last time you wrote anything significant about UFOs, Gene, outside of your newsletter?
Outside of my newsletter? When I was writing for Cafe de Mentor magazine, I also wrote some articles for some newsstand UFO magazines back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
All right. So, but I'm looking at an editorial I wrote about the state of the UFO field in 1971. And I could have written it yesterday. I mean, I'll read you the two,
yeah,
the two sentences. You ready for this? Okay.
Believe me, I believe you.
Exactly. And as the mystery deepens, we find that some of them, talking about UFO researchers, have abandoned UFO investigation because of disillusionment or frustration. I also said, we have some strong ideas on the subject, and these same ideas cause us to distrust many of the folks who purport to be experts on UFOs. Little that the so-called experts have done has contributed one iota to the solution of the UFO enigma. That was written in the spring of 1971.
It could have been pulled from an article yesterday.
Right. Isn't that incredible? Listen, guys, we're just about out of time. Robbie Graham, please tell our listeners, if they want to know more about this book and the stuff you do, where can they check you out?
You can find a lot of the material related to the book on my website, which is robbiegraham.uk. The book's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of the other online bookstores in paperback and Kindle. So it's out now. So my website, robbiegraham.uk.
One of our forum members just posted a message. He's already downloaded the Kindle version.
Excellent.
Of the book. That fast, even before the episode was broadcast. Robert, do you have a site or anything we could...
I used to have a site, and then I closed that one down, so I'm floating around. You can hit me on the Paracast forums if you ever want to message or ask any questions there, but I'm trying to keep a semi-low profile, a lot of different things happening in life all at once, but this has been such a great treat to participate in and writing a piece for this book, and Robbie's been such a phenomenal editor and allowed me to push word limit things and stuff really kindly, so I hope people do take time to read the text. It's got some really interesting pieces in it.
We can find Chris at OurStrangePlanet.com. Chris, you've been a busy bee over there putting up lots of really good stuff.
Yeah, I have. I've got lots of new articles, and I really want to reemphasize the importance of this book. Robbie, Robert, Greg, everybody, Red Pill Junkie, Kurt, this is a really important book. I don't do this hardly ever. But I do. I really recommend this book, and I urge you to go out and get it.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
I have it here. I've been reading chapters here and there, and
yes,
I'll finish
so
it. I will finish this book. It's right in front of me. It's right in front of my eyes right now. You can also check out After the Paracast, our second radio show. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. On the next episode, you'll be hearing from Red Pill Junkie, another contributor to this book. In addition to After the Paracast, we also give you the commercial-free version of this show and lots of other goodies. And for five-year and lifetime memberships, we offer free print books. How about that? Plus.theparacast.com. Prices start at just $1.49 a week. Our price cheap. Robert Brandstetter, Robbie Graham, thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.